There's a key thing I want to bring out this morning that's really important to living a life of God-pleasing faith. And that is this. Don't follow philosophies or traditions of men. We don't want to follow the world's thinking. We don't want to follow traditions of the world or man's ideas. We have to be led by the Spirit of God, by and through the Word. So that's the focus this morning. Don't follow philosophies and traditions of men. So go with me first this morning to Galatians chapter 2. Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to be reading from both King James and the New Living Translation this morning. So find your place in Colossians chapter 2 and we'll take it from there. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read from verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 this morning. King James says this. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, can I say something here? Teaching builds faith. Look what Paul just wrote again. Look what he said. He said, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught. So faith establishes something. Faith builds something, and that comes through teaching. That's why teaching is really important in the church. That's why it's really important to be a part of the church, so the Spirit of God can speak to us, not only through the prophetic word, but the written word, because teaching will establish us in the faith. Really important. Let me keep reading. Beware, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments or the elements or the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. It's interesting that our completeness is in him. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about not staying babies, but maturing in the faith. So, but our completeness is in him. Outside of him, we can't be complete. So let me just break some of those words down a little bit. And then I want to read it from the New Living. So the word spoil, that means to seduce or to carry off as captive. It's like the spoils of war. You know, soldiers take the spoils of war. Well, that's what the enemy wants to do. Don't be drawn into the things of this world. Don't be drawn into it. So it talks about, you know, vain deceit. Vain deceit. Beware any man spoils you through vain deceit after the traditions of men. Vain deceit. So don't be seduced by that. And of course, when it says beware, it means to perceive, to look at, or to behold, to take heed. We need to be aware of what the world's saying. Because the world which is governed, this world system which is governed by a demonic system, it's ruled by a demonic system, it tries to draw people into its way of thinking, and it'll get the church to do the same if the church doesn't stay in the Word. We must stay in the book. Because if you don't stay in the Word, you're going to be drawn into that system. Not maybe, not possibly, you will. The only way you can remain free and untethered from a broken satanic system is when you're tethered to the living Word of God, which is eternal and it's truth and it's light. That means you're not going to be spoiled by the deceitfulness of the world. That we don't want that. So I just say it again, to spoil is to seduce or to carry off or to be captive. That word philosophy is the natural world view. it must be rejected. The natural world view or the natural world order must be rejected. Don't get caught in it. There's nothing in that order that you seek after or desire. Trust the word on that. There's nothing that we seek after or desire from the world's order. It's a death system. It has no life in it. If God's not a part of it, it's a death system, which you could refer to as the Babylonian system, right back to the Tower of Babel. You know, man trying to meet his own needs without God. First expression of it. Here's man, we don't need you, God. We'll build a tower. We'll make a name for ourselves. And God said, I want to make a name for you. So I'll have to stop that. And of course, then he works through Abram, who became Abraham. So you don't want these failed systems to be guiding you in your world because they're failed. That's the point. But they got a strong pull. Strong pull. Now, I'd imagine most of us here, well, I'm not personally because I'm not interested in it, but most would be on some sort of social media. Nothing wrong with that as long as that doesn't draw you into a godless system. If it's not quoting scripture, you're not getting truth. Hello? You could be enjoying all that sort of social media, but if it's not quoting the word of God and you're listening to it and you're feeding your spirit in it, don't think that you're getting truth because you're not. Truth is the word of God. So you just got to be very, very cautious. And I'm not speaking against that. I'm just saying you've got to beware. That's what the Bible says. Vain deceit is empty delusions, idle fancies and plain nonsense. That's what vain deceit is. It says, you know, don't be caught up in vain deceit. Philosophies and vain deceit. So remember, philosophies and traditions of men, we don't want to follow those things. And that traditions of men, it means transmission. The traditions of men is someone said it and it was passed down to someone and someone said it and it was passed down to someone. Well, we know that God doesn't always do what his word says. Some of it's just examples, but they're not true. We know God doesn't always heal, blah, 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 blah. Those traditions get passed down. You buy that lie. You pass that lie to someone else. You pass it on to someone else. Traditions of men, not the word of God, and they don't get anything of value in their life because they're not under the blessing. They're under the curse. Don't tell people God can't, because one day you'll give account before God for that idle word. God can. God can, and God does. That's what a faith God does. All he wants is a faithful people that have present God-pleasing faith to him, because what pleases God is faith. Hardship doesn't please God. It's interesting, I haven't got up there. Hardship pleases God. You know, hardship pleasing struggles in life. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, why is that? Because the flow of God's blessing is through faith. If there's no faith, he can't pass on the blessing. Only faith can bring the grace of God to earth. The grace of God is for those that are willing to receive it by faith. Salvation comes through that way. Every other blessing and expression of God comes through that same process. So we don't want that transmission, that tradition of men, that transmission to be a lie in our lives. Now, just while you're on there, have a look at chapter 3. It's probably on the same page as the Bible you're on. Have a look at verse 1 of Colossians 3. It says this, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now we know what Christ means. That means the anointed one. So the anointed one is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affections, in other words, direct your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with the anointed one, Christ, in God. So you are spiritually dead and alive in Christ. So you're dead to your old nature, but you're alive in him. So he says, set your affections, get your mind focused on things above. When you do that, you're not thinking about the philosophies or the traditions of men. We're not thinking that way. We're thinking eternal spiritual truths. We're thinking about the things that will allow us to journey this journey of faith. And when we get to the end, there's a reward. Now, are we doing it for reward? No, we've already been rewarded with eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. But there are rewards for those that do the will of the Father. So these are important. So we want to focus our attention on those things. Now, let me read it from Colossians, this same particular passage, verse 6. From the New Living. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus, your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down in him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught. There it is. Your faith will go strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thanksgiving. The best thing a pastor can do for a church is teach his sheep. Teach the congregation. Because our faith grows strong through teaching. That's why we do it. We want the word to be our guide and our rock. If the word's not our rock, what's our rock? Well, there is no other rock. Jesus is a rock. He's a foundation. If there's no word, there's no rock. If there's no word, there's only shifting sand. And so many of God's precious people are trying to, you know, navigate life's journey on a very, very unstable foundation because they've never, ever been taught the importance of study and teaching and meditating on the word of God and declaring that word by faith. That's the way of the kingdom. There'll never be another way. As long as we're in this earth, that's the way the kingdom operates, and we want to walk in that. So we keep reading, verse 8. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense, I love that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of the world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So the traditions of men is man's idea of the material rather than the spiritual world. So it's man's idea of the material, natural world rather than the spiritual world. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. You know, to the world system, the baby in a womb is not necessarily life as God calls it. You know, some would call it fetal matter, fetal tissue. What does it matter? But God's the author of life. But to the world, and it's growing more and more popular, that we can just do with whatever we want to in relation to that human life. But there's going to be account for that because life's precious to God. That's the wisdom of God. The tradition of men is whatever, do what you want. Whatever you want to do, do it. It's all good. You've got control over your body. You're the author of your own body. Do what you want to do. That's fine, but that's not the wisdom of God. That's the traditions of men. Very dangerous. Another one, you know, and that is our creation. We're created. We don't evolve. It's a tradition. Many buy that, but we're created in the image and likeness of God. If we weren't created, we wouldn't be in the image and likeness of God. If we were an evolved species, we wouldn't be living, speaking spirits so that we can change our world through the confession of our words. We wouldn't have that ability. But sadly, the majority of God's people don't understand that their words determine their destiny. Let me take it one step further. Traditions of men. When your time's up, your time's up. Must have been his time. Only the good die young. Traditions of men. That's not the word of God. Doesn't the Bible say in Proverbs 18 that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof? All through Proverbs it talks about the word will lengthen your days. You know, Psalm 91, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. You know, God authors life. Does God know your last breath? Of course he does. Does God determine it? Go to the word and find out if that's yes or no. The answer is you determine your last days. God knows your choice. But your words that you've been speaking for days and weeks and months and years are going to produce a harvest, blessing or curse. If you're calling for a long life, and I am, I'm going to be in this journey until I finish the race. I've got to finish the race. That's what Paul says. Finish the race. Keep the faith. I hope that's your heart. That's what I want to do. So I keep declaring the promises and God keeps honoring it. God will honor your words. We want to keep going until we finish. So the traditions are, well, when your time's up, that's it. God, you know, has already made a determination. Well, the Bible does say that there is, you know, it's appointed for man once to die and then there's judgment. That's correct. But who determines that? God's already got his calculator. Well, you'll live 35 years, you'll die a baby. This is world thinking. This is not Bible. That's the way the world is. And that's why people speak death over their life from, you know, such an early age, because that's that tradition. It's that transmission of untruth. We don't want to talk like that. I would say to this church, if you speak death in your language, get it out of your language. Because if you don't, you're going to get your harvest on that language. That's not because I say, that's because that's the word of God. That's the kingdom. The kingdom's going to do exactly what God's ordained it to do. What you sow is what you reap. God's not mocked. So we don't follow traditions of men. Go to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Just back one book. This is so critical to living a life of God-pleasing faith, to understand this. And of course, the enemy doesn't want us to walk in this. So let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and reading from verse 11. Read with me. King James. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the ministry gifts are for. The ministers are not there to be exalted. They're not there to be lifted up on high. They're not there to, you know, to receive accolades of men. The ministry gifts are there to equip the church. They're servants. That's what the gifts are for. That's their purpose. For the perfecting of the saints, for the working of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Unity of the faith. Now think about that for a moment. And the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know why it says unity of faith and not unity of doctrine? Because the church will never ever agree on doctrine. Ever. So many are swayed by doctrine, that the winds of doctrine, you know, this toss to and fro. And of course, that word tossed, I actually wrote it down here, and it means to surge or to fluctuate or to be agitated. To be agitated. The wind of doctrine is like agitation. And the enemy loves that. He loves it when people all they want to do is just talk about what their doctrinal take on some, you know, particular point of scripture is. Why don't we all agree on faith? We can agree on one thing. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He died for us. He rose from the dead and he shed his blood so we could be free, and he's a soon coming king. We can all agree on that, can't we? Amen. If we agree on that, we're in a really, really good place. All the rest, God will fix if we keep our hearts right. So it's not unity of doctrine. It's unity of faith. Faith in what? Faith in him. Faith in the blood. Faith in the word. Faith in the name of Jesus. That's what the faith's in. Not doctrine. Doctrine will get us all into all sorts of debates and discussions. We don't want to do that. So the local church is very important to spiritual growth. That's how God builds a church. The local church is so integrally important in that. It's intrinsic for this, for the church to grow, the local church. We don't want that to be removed. We don't want to be tossed and blown away by every wind of new teaching. That's the point. And of course, deceit and trickery are everywhere, because it says here, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the trickery of men, okay, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it's trickery, fraud, and deception. That's the way the enemy is. He wants to deceive. And we're not going to let him. So let me just read this to you in the New Living Translation from verse 11. I want to read from verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching, You will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Now, this is the world today. The world's so deceptive that they package things that they sound so good that it seems to be the truth. Now, the only way you can discern that is say, well, what does the Word of God say? Don't let your emotion get in the way of truth. You know, when you hear something, you know, the media's presenting something, or the world's wisdom presents some idea, and it seems good and it tugs at your heart, and you think, well, that's right, that's nice, that's good. But is it aligned to the Word of God? If it's not aligned to the Word of God, it would be very wise for you to reject that. That's worldly wisdom, and it's deceptive. And it's a philosophy and tradition of men. You don't want that. It's got to line up with the Word of God. Because one way the devil gets Christians to link themselves to an untruth is package it with compassion. Package it with compassion. That'll reel in the church people because, you know, they just love and they just accept everything. Well, not even Jesus lived like that. Study the life of Jesus. You know, any notion that he was a conformist, wrong. He didn't conform. You know, he's into equity and unity and all that, wrong. That wasn't his life. He challenged authority. He challenged the religious thinking. He challenged the elite. He challenged traditions of men. He said, the traditions of men make the Word of God of no effect. It means it makes the Word useless and unproductive and no good. Traditions, it nullifies the Word, so we don't want that. So saying here, tricks. They trick us with lies so clever, they sound like the truth. Instead, we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. So we speak the truth in love. Wow. How do you do that? Speak the truth in love. Not everyone wants to hear the truth. But when you do it in love, let God then take that seed and do something with it. But when you know something's not right and you can lovingly speak the truth to people, just speak the truth in love. And God will take that truth that's spoken in love and he'll allow the light of that truth to penetrate a heart that may be darkened or ignorant to that truth. We trust God in it. Amen. Now, go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. It said there before in Ephesians that we should no longer be children. Now let's take this a bit further with Hebrews, because Hebrews makes some comment about this. Hebrews chapter 5. While you're going there, I'm just going to quote a verse. You don't need to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So he's saying, if you're a new baby in Christ, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Like a natural child, they need little feeds. And then they start growing up into more, you know, substantial food. But baby Christians need the milk of the word. They need it. So when someone comes to faith in Christ, we need to get them into the Word. We need to get them on that spiritual drip feed really, really early, because the enemy's a thief and he wants to steal. And if he can steal the Word out of the heart of a precious young saint before they grow in faith and grow strong in the Lord, you know, he can cripple them spiritually. Cripple them. So, but they're not effective. And the ones, many that aren't in church today, have been the subject of that. They get in, they have a great experience, a great encounter with God. They say yes to Yeshua, yes to Jesus, but they don't get the milk. They don't get the feed. They don't get that drip feed of the truth in their system, and they start to flounder. And the enemy, who's a thief and a deceiver, and he's a devil, and there's nothing good about him. He gets in there and he tries to steal, then kill, then destroy. What does he steal? You've heard me say it many times. This is what he steals first, the Word of God. And if he can steal the Word out of your heart, then he starts to kill and destroy everything you've got. That's the way it works. But not this church, not the congregation here, because we're not going to let him do that. But look at this. We want to read from Hebrews chapter 5. 12. And you can read it in context. He's talking about, you know, this Melchizedek, the great high priest, the eternal high priest Melchizedek, which is what our study's been about on Thursday nights. And he says, you know, this thing that I'm introducing to you, the writer of Hebrews, he's saying this is tough. And you're not ready for it. Because he said, I'm talking about this eternal high priest, and this Melchizedek is this spiritual expression of that. And he goes on to say in verse 12, For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Now listen to this. He says, you should be teaching, but you have need of one to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God, and you become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. What's he saying there? You know, you're at a point in your spiritual walk where you should be now teaching this truth, but you're actually still needing a drip feed. You're still needing a bottle. Now he explains why that is. Let's have a look at it. We'll keep reading. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you the first principles, the oracles of God, and you become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. Everyone that is unskilled in the word, you know, is on milk. So we can't remain babies unskilled in the word of God. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So there's got to be a use of this word. We need to put it to use. Full age means completeness or maturity. That's what full age is. Reason of use means a habit or a custom or a practice. That means, do we have a habit, a custom, or a practice of spending time in this word, which allows us to discern good and evil? Because we can use this word to take authority against things that are trying to come against us. And that's what he's saying here. We need to develop those practices, and we need to exercise like someone in a gym so we can grow strong thereby. So through exercise or training, we develop the skills to discern or recognize the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, and truth and a lie. So as we exercise, as we develop, as we build our discerner inside us, we can stand against, or we can discern between right and wrong, good and evil, and truth and a lie. Now, why is that important? Well, Deuteronomy 39:8 says, I've set before you life and death, blessing or cursing, choose life. Well, you need to know what life looks like. What does choosing life look like? Well, choosing life is choosing the word of God. If you choose the word of God, you've chosen life. If you don't choose the word of God, you haven't chosen life. Because that's where you're going to find the truth. That's where you're going to find the way illuminated, because the light of the word is guiding you. It's not a flood lamp. It's not going to give you 40 years. It's going to show you tomorrow. It's going to show you tonight. And that might be simply ring that person. It might be something about, tomorrow when you get to work, I want you to do this with one of your work colleagues. And it might be, I've been asking you to do a certain thing for me that you haven't done. I want you to do it. That's the light of the word guiding us. So, you know, we need to listen. So when you get those promptings to ring someone up because they're just simply on your heart, do it. I've learned to do that. And it's a rare time where I've done that, where someone says, gee, your timing's spot on. And I know that because I know it's the Spirit of God. You know, all of a sudden somebody comes up in your thinking and you even sort of just brush it off, but it comes back up. That's it. If it comes up the second time, if I haven't been quick enough to pick it up the first time, I won't miss it the second time. And I'm onto it. How you doing? Walk in the blessing. Stay connected. God's good. Trust Him. Stay in faith. Keep walking by faith in this day of God's amazing grace. Whatever it is God puts on my heart, so we keep encouraging the brothers and the sisters in the Lord. Amen? Because we've got to grow. We don't want to remain children. Because I just want to say it again. Everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those by reason of their use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if you go to Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul has something to say to the Corinthian church about this very point. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3. Now, it's interesting, if you study out the two letters that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, this church moved powerfully in the gifts of the Spirit. This church loved to operate in the gifts, but they had some issues like all churches. And if you look at this, we can see clearly here that there's some flesh that's getting in the way of this church. We don't want flesh to get in the way, so it's got to come out of me first. And then we as a church need to make sure that we don't let the flesh get in the way of what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. We don't want the flesh to operate, to sort of operate over and above the Spirit. We want the Spirit of God to be in operation in this church and all churches for that matter. So we keep the flesh down. We're not looking at man. Don't look to man. He's not your answer. I'm not your answer. Don't look to me. Hear the word. If I'm preaching the word, listen to it, take it to your heart, but don't look to people for your answer. They're not your answer. God's your answer, and he'll use people to bring things to you. But God's your source, never man. Man's never your source. And we never manipulate man to get an outcome. Never. We don't want to do that. God sees the heart. So anything that involves subtle manipulation so you can get an outcome is cursed. That's not God, not the Spirit of God. The enemy's at play with that. Anything that's controlling in a Christian's life has got a demonic footprint to it. So as a pastor of a church, I'm not here to control God's people. I'm here to guide them and to feed them. Spirit of God will do all the guiding. He doesn't control his people. Devil's a controller. He's the one who wants to put a hook in your nose and drag you along, because anyone who puts their trust in man is going to be snared. We've talked about that. We don't want to be snared. We want to be free. And we are free because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. So look at this. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says this. And I, brothers, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as carnal. And that means worldly, as babes in Christ. I wanted to talk to you about spiritual things, but all I can do is talk to you like people that are just living like the world. You're babies. Now let's have a look at why. I have fed you with milk and not meat. For hitherto, meaning for to this day, you have not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. So up until this point, I can only feed you milk because you're not able to bear it. You're not able to take it. And even now you can't. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there among you envying and strife and division, are you not carnal and walk among men? Whoa, what a powerful truth that is. Wow. He says, you're carnal because of this, envying and strife and division. Then he says, for while one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? I'm for this preacher. No, I'm for that preacher. I'm for that ministry. That's exactly what he's saying. We're not to do that. We honour ministries and we honour the gifts that come with the ministries, but we don't put people on pedestals. We're not to do that. We honour them for what they do. And we should give double honour to those that preach the word of the living God, the Bible says. Double honour to those that labour in the word. But we don't lift man up. And he's saying, there's envy and there's strife and division because, you know, so, well, I'm with Paulus. I'm with Paul. And look what Paul says then. Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? But ministers whom you believed. We're just ministers. Ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. So, you know, we must not have man as our focus, okay? So worldly thinking and living weakens our spiritual discernment. Man's wisdom is always weak and void of power. So ministers and ministries are appointed by God. Our focus must be on God who gives the increase. And that's what he says here. Say it again. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers of whom you believe, even as the Lord God gave to men, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God gives the increase. God's the one that brings that spiritual growth in us through the word. God's the one that brings it. It's the Spirit of God that illuminates our understanding to the truth. If you come into a church like this on a Sunday and your spirit is open to the Word of God, the hearing, You know, blessed are those who have ears to hear. If you have ears to the hearing of the word, you're going to receive from God. You're going to receive from God. If you sit in the church on Sunday and say, well, I've heard all that before and I'm not sure about that and I don't, then you probably won't hear from God. But if you're open to what the word's saying, Spirit of God's going to speak to you. Spirit of God's going to lead you and guide you, and he's going to prompt you to go a certain way and to receive something that's going to benefit you. Everything about this book benefits. Amen? There's nothing in this book that's going to harm us. Nothing in this book that'll harm us. This book will only bless his children. Verse 7, so then neither he is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Doesn't matter whether you're the planter, it doesn't matter whether you're a waterer, it's the God that gives the increase is the ones that we give the glory and the honor and the praise to. The God that gives the increase is the one that we give exaltation to. Amen? And we honor the gifts of the ministries. Now, he that plants and he that waters are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. So we work with God. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds. For another foundation can no man lay that is laid that except or which is Christ Jesus. And look at this. The Grace Place Church, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's the only foundation that this church can grow on. Any other foundation is shifting sand. We don't build it on some charismatic presentation that we bring on a Sunday. We don't build it on that. We build it on the foundation of Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, the one that shed his blood for us. That's the one. We're not building it on the wisdom of the world. We're not building it on the philosophies of men. We're building it on the living word of God that is rock solid. And if you believe it, it's yours. That's how this works. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, gee, time goes quick, doesn't it? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, very quickly. Again, for the sake of time, you can read this in more context. I just haven't got the time for today. You know, Peter talks about Paul's writing or wisdom, and he calls them scripture. He says Paul's writings are sometimes hard to understand, but he refers to them as scripture. So, you know, the letters of Paul are as powerful scripture as Genesis in the beginning. And, of course, I just want to read verse 15. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Remember our Lord's patience. It gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things in all of his letters. Some of his comments are hard to understand, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters. Those that are ignorant and unstable. So ignorant and unstable people are not established in the faith. They're not established in the faith through teaching. They're ignorant of the teaching and they're unstable because they haven't got the faith as their foundation. So that's what you've got to look out for. So they're ignorant and unstable. They've twisted the letters to mean something quite different, just as they do with other parts of Scripture. When somebody talks to you about their take on the Bible, let the peace of God be your umpire when you receive it. And even in my case, let the peace of God, if you get something in you that says, oh, I'm not so sure about that, then one of two possibilities, I have completely missed it, or it's a fresh revelation that God wants you to see. And it can be both. I can miss the word. And I'm growing in this constantly. What I understood about the Word of God when I, you know, sat under the wonderful teaching of Dr. Norm and Elizabeth all those years ago, I knew nothing, but they taught me, they gave me foundation, they established me in the faith. And over the years, from what they taught, I've grown and I'm still growing. But it's a process. You know, we sometimes want it now. I want it right now, but it's a process, and it can take years and years and years and years and years of maturing in God. And then he says, I can let you go now because I can trust you. I'll cut you loose now because I can trust you, because I know you're not going to be a butcher that hooks and cuts. You're going to be a shepherd that leads and feeds. This is a process, people. It takes time, but that's okay. God is very patient. We're not always patient, but we can develop in our patience. So he says this, and I'll keep reading, just as they do with other parts of Scripture, and this will result in their destruction. So these people that twist the truth, they are going to stand before God. Verse 17, I'm warning you ahead of time, dear brothers, or dear friends, be on guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people. Sounds like philosophies and traditions of men, doesn't it? Of these people, and lose your own secure footing. Don't lose your, remember, we're rooted in the faith and we're established. We're rooted and established in the faith through the teaching. And that's the point he's making. Rather, you must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. One more scripture this morning, and then I'm going to bring it to a bit of a close. It's in Galatians. I know, it goes quick. Wow. Galatians chapter 1. So we don't want to be led away with the error of the wicked. We don't want that. We want to remain steadfast in the word by growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Growing in the knowledge of God is so important, and it's referenced many times in the Bible. You know, growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Well, we grow in the knowledge by spending time in the word. We become students of this word, not just on a Sunday when it's being preached and you open your Bible up, but what you do in your private time with God. Are you a student in that private time? Do you spend time with the Lord? And I don't care if it's just one scripture and you meditate on that scripture for a whole half a day. That's probably not a bad thing sometimes. But just having that time with the Lord as you're able to, because you want this word to be your guide, nothing else. You're going to hear this always in this church. It'll always come back to the book. That's how I was taught, and I thank God I was taught that way, because that's the truth. Anything outside of that, anything that I present to you today that's superior to this book, you haven't got the truth. There's nothing in ministry that could be more superior to this. We don't want to just toss the word and put it aside and let's just have a program. Let's entertain. We don't want to do that. We don't want to toss the word and bring in something that's going to entertain God's people. We don't want that. We want to feed the sheep. We want to grow them in truth. Now look at Paul, verse 11 of chapter 1, Galatians. He says, now verse 10, but do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't please men and God. You can't do both. It's one or the other. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not of men. Well, that's a truth we all need to absolutely take a hold of. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel came by revelation of Jesus Christ, revealed knowledge from Jesus. For you have heard of my conversation, meaning my manner of life in past times in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now look at the reason why he did that. And I profit of the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The reason why he persecuted the church was because he was driven by tradition. But the tradition that drove him was wrong. It was wrong. It was in error. And that tradition was crippling the nation of Israel. And that's why Jesus had to come and liberate them. And there's a, you know, today even Israel still doesn't fully appreciate that truth. And when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, he'll go back to finish with Israel. But the point I make here is that he was zealous out of tradition. Now there's zealous people out in the world today that want to rip the tradition of God out of this nation. Zealous people. There are zealous people in this nation today and all over the world that want to remove truth from every, you know, public medium that exists. They don't want this truth to be proclaimed because the truth reveals men. They just want everything to be hidden in darkness. You know, they don't care whether Christian schools have righteous teachers or godless teachers. They don't care. They just want everything to be equal. Well, you know, that's not right. That's the traditions of men. That's philosophies of men. And it's all based on where we just want everything to be equality. You know, we can have unbelieving people teaching Christians. Can you? Can you? Well, you know, I've got a doctorate. I teach theological college in one of the great, you know, seminaries of the world. But I'm not born again. But I've got a doctorate. That doesn't cut it, people. Doesn't cut it. I'd rather hear from a 13-year-old born-again young man or woman that has got a fire for God in them, and I'd get revelation from their hearts before someone with a doctorate of 50 years preaching trash. Because it's traditions of men. It's philosophies of men. It's vain deceit. We're not to go there. Now, I'm not trying to be harsh this morning, and I'm not trying to put anyone down. All I'm saying is this. I've chosen God over all that. I have no interest in the world's voice. It doesn't interest me because every day it has something new and something different. The voice is never the same. You know why? They're confused. Well, they're confused. Don't listen to them because their confusion will confuse you. Amen? So finally it says, but when it pleased God, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I preached him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went out to Jerusalem to them which are apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So he got that revelation from God. He didn't confer with people. He let the Spirit of God download from heaven justification by faith. You know, the grace of God, which is what we preach today, this amazing grace of God, which is a complete change from the law and the institution of Levitical law and the priesthood. It's all changed. And that's why now today we're under the high priest, the eternal high priest, in the order of Melchizedek. Because the order of Melchizedek is the eternal nature of Jesus. And he's the one that now we trust in because he ever lives to make intercession for us. The priests of the Old Testament didn't live forever. They died. Jesus lives forever. And he's our eternal high priest. So, in closing, we follow him. Just like the word that came prophetically through this morning, we follow the eternal one. We don't follow the philosophies or the traditions of men because they'll shipwreck you. But if we follow God, we'll be planted on the rock and we'll stay solid on the rock from now until we go to be with our Lord Jesus. Amen? Let's pray.